Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. After Colorado's Supreme Court ruled that former President Trump could not be on the Republican primary ballot there due to January 6th, he has turned to the U.S. Supreme Court. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
I think they'll move quickly to try to resolve this case, hopefully on the merits, as quickly as possible, so that the entire nation will know whether or not under the 14th Amendment, Donald Trump is qualified to run for the presidency.
The names of people associated with late Jeffrey Epstein are released in some 950 pages of newly unsealed court documents. A federal judge ruled the names of Epstein's alleged victims and those connected to him must be made public. Criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully points out,
his job was obviously rounding up people of influence, people in positions of power, and putting them in compromising situations. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone he interacted with was involved in that.
CBS News is still reviewing the documents. The Justice Department sues Texas over a law targeting migrants that is set to begin in March. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
The Justice Department sued Texas over a new state law which would make it a state crime to illegally cross the border and would give the state of Texas the power to deport migrants. The DOJ says it's unconstitutional.
In Iran, close to 100 people were killed in blasts at a ceremony honoring a general who died in a 2020 U.S. airstrike. A senior advisor to Iran's president blames Israel and the U.S. for the twin blasts. The State Department says the U.S. was not involved in any way. The U.S. and at least 11 other nations have issued a joint statement calling for an end to Houthi attacks on commercial vessels in the Red Sea.
Admiral John Kirby says the attacks on vessels in the region are a threat to lives, the global economy, and the free flow of commerce, and the U.S. will not sit idly by.
We have established and will continue to maintain a significant force presence in the Middle East.
The spokesman for the National Security Council commented after the United States and several allies issued what amounted to a final warning to the Houthi rebels to cease their attacks on vessels or face potential military action. The Yemen-based militants have carried out at least 23 attacks since the start of the war between Israel and Hamas. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
A $25,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the capture of whoever shot and killed Imam Hassan Sharif outside of his Newark, New Jersey mosque. Acting Essex County Prosecutor Theodore Stevens.
Although at this stage in the investigation, we do not have a motive. It does not appear that the imam was a victim of a biased crime or that this is related to terrorism.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat Wednesday morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Badgers beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with a conference win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Max Klesmit on how valuable Kamari McGee was as a substitute in the game.
Having a guy like that can come off the bench and spark it, life into us, I think it carried over the second half big time. And, you know, that's a credit to Cam and just how much he works, keeps his head down, doesn't let the naysayers, you know, get to him or what other the outside noise says. He's really focused individual, and I'm super proud of him, the way he's handled himself.
The Badgers have now won three in a row. Head coach Greg Gard.
And that's the neat part about watching a team come together. As a coach, you can't orchestrate everything. A lot of that chemistry has to be organic. This group has got some good things going.
NFL former Packers center Ken Bowman has died. Bowman played 10 seasons for Green Bay from 1964 to 1973, including three NFL championships. Bowman snapped the ball to Bart Starr on his quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl. Kenny Bowman was 81. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky, a few flurries around, and lows in the upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, high upper 20s. Back to clouds in mid-30s for Friday, with snow possible Friday night and Saturday. High in the low 30s, snow showers wrap up Saturday night. Currently, it's 26.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One, two, three, four. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I don't remember saying I don't like shaking hands. I mean, I prefer a fist bump, but I'll shake a hand, make a friend, get on board the friendship train. Hey, welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, broadcasting live from the City Deck WGBW Studios here in Green Bay. Another beautiful night. Loving this El Nino. We're in the 30s, I think, right now, which isn't too bad for mid-September. That's terrible for mid-September, actually. Mid-December, and nice temperatures all around the state. Wherever you're joining me from, thank you. I have a great show tonight. I've got joining me in just a couple minutes the co-host of Mino and the Mayor, the Green Bay and the WGBW and WISS morning show, and former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt, will join me in studio. Jim made the trip down. I know he's got a long commute, but it's going to be great to talk to Jim about radio and his time as mayor. That will be fun. Steve Burrows is going to join me. Steve is a director, a Wisconsin native, a writer, director, performer. Steve made a film called Bleed Out that you can watch right now on HBO. It is an award-winning film, and I'm going to save most of the information for the interview with Steve. He's going to join me. He's hilarious and an incredibly accomplished guy and one of my showbiz idols, to be honest with you. And I'll tell you why during the interview. I'm going to talk to Allison Fleck. She's going to promote the Griffin String Quartet. They'll be performing all around Northeast Wisconsin over the next week. And then in the second hour, Jimmy Koska, he is the new sports director at Civic Media and a big sports fan. We're going to have a talk with Jimmy a little while. Some great birthdays today. Some of my favorite celebrities have birthdays today. In no particular order, Taylor Swift turns 34. Big day for Taylor. Dick Van Dyke turns 98. Jamie Foxx turns 56. And Steve Buscemi, one of my favorite character actors of all time and just actors, turns 66. Steve was in The Big Lebowski. Living in Oblivion, a great film about making independent movies. Reservoir Dogs. The guy's got an incredible resume. We'll hear maybe a clip from some of their work a little later in the show. Tonight's question. Of those celebrities I just mentioned, Taylor Swift, Dick Van Dyke, Jamie Foxx, and Steve Buscemi, of tonight's celebrities, who would you most like to wish a happy birthday to in person? You can text us your answer. We had great texts last night. I'd love to hear from you. 920-264-0606. And you can call that number too. We'll take your call. We'll take your text. You got Morse code. Shoot it over. We'll read it on the air. It'll be great. I had Richard Reilly here last night, who was a phenomenal guest and a great actor with over 438 credits. If you want to listen to that interview, it's on the Civic Media app from last night. He told the story about how he got a part in Casino and how Joe Pesci brought him into the fold because another actor left. And Richard's story, we were kind of running out of time, but he did get through it. And I kind of had to end it abruptly, unfortunately, because it's such a great story and he's a great guy. It was great having him on. And right now, let's get right to the guests. I got a lot of, I've got another celebrity joining me here in the studio.
Right.
He's a local celebrity, but a celebrity nonetheless, the co-host of Mino and the Mayor here on WGBW every morning, one half of the team, and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Pete. This is, love you. I listen to your show. I do. I mean, I get up early to do my show from 6 to 8 a.m., but I have another job at a community shelter, but then take a little bit of a nap, and then I tune you in at 8. I usually fade out before your show, before your show's over, but no.
Your show's the perfect thing to put someone to sleep.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to come out like that. But I was like, you and Khan do a good job here, so it's fun to listen
to. Well,
I've
been on your show in the morning. I can't even keep up with you guys at that hour.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
That's my co-host. he's wired pretty tight. But.
Jim, I've only met you, or not only, but I mean, I've met you because we both work for Civic Media, right. And I've been on your show, and we've had some small talk, but I want to take a deep dive into who Jim Schmidt really is. Can you give me a little background? Are you a lifelong Green Bay resident?
Pretty much, yes. I love Green Bay. I mean, there's just anyone who knows of me or has read about me that this I'm very passionate. I even have a new show that's going to be launched with Civic Media called Lean Local, and it's just all about local politics. And didn't someone once say that all politics is local?
For sure.
And we interview guests. And so, you know, I grew up in Two Rivers, went to school at Roncalli, lived out west for a little while, lived in the Chicago area for a little while. But this is my home and I raised my kids here and I love it. But before we get on, I just want to wish Taylor Swift a happy birthday. Anybody who's the person of the year. Times Person of the Year, which I was Green Bay Press Gazette.
I have that down here as a question.
Oh, see, okay,
I want you to elaborate on that, but first your serenade to Taylor.
My kids went to see her in Nashville.
She's great.
She is. I think
hard
she
not
is
to like her.
And I think she does some nice things that don't always get the press. She gives money to the homeless shelters. She gives money to the food pantries. And, you know, people say, oh, she's got a lot of money. There's a lot of people with a lot of money that don't give money away. So
right.
I don't know. And I heard she was great when she was in Green Bay. You know, look, you got to protect those people a little bit. But I mean, saying hi and not, you know, some of these people are just in a bubble and a blanket over them. It's like, come on. I mean, I never met her. Don't listen to her music. But from what I read about her and I think she's pretty awesome. So yeah, happy birthday, 34.
I think you should go to Twitter with her other 300 million followers.
I know. This is
more special, though, I think.
I'm here with Pete Schwab. That's all I care about.
Hey, that was cool. When she was here, I loved seeing Tony Shalhoub there.
Right.
He's like one of my favorite actors. And Simone Biles, too. I know it was like a star. It was like a Laker game.
Yeah, but you know, Shalhoub's here. He's here quite a bit, really. Yeah. And you know, Simone lives here, right?
So, yeah. So that's...
Well, they count. I just, Taylor Swift was.
Can you name a Taylor Swift song?
No.
Yeah. See, the only reason I can is because we might, for our little birthday gift to Taylor later, would be to play a couple minutes of one of her songs. Not even the whole song, but Shake It Off. I know that one because I've heard it.
I don't. I just, you
got to hear it.
Okay. I'll listen.
Run
listen.
To the record store.
But no, don't play it at 5 to 10 because I may miss it. But if you play it before 9:15, 9:30, I'm all in.
So you mentioned you won a Person of the Year award here in Green Bay.
You don't win that.
You don't win that. What do you do?
It just, I don't know. What'd you committee together and they just call you and they say, hey, look, we're going to come over and see you. And they come in and I was really surprised. I mean, I was shocked. And they said, look.
Did you think you didn't deserve it?
Never been a politician that got that award for one.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, you know, politicians were controversial, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just was really, really surprised. I'm like, what me? And then they said, yeah, we're going to go take a picture. And then I didn't say why, cause they just talked about some things we didn't. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But you know, I mean, it's not just me, but that was a big deal I felt really good about it. And you know, there's a lot of things that maybe don't go the way you want to, but there's certain things you get that they can't take away, and that's one of them. So I've never, like, I wasn't a big sports guy. The reason I like your show is I do like entertainment, theater, music. But, you know, I mean, I think I can see why people maybe hang on to something, and that's the way I felt about that.
I think it's pretty cool. And does it have anything to do with, and elaborate on this, I know most people that know you, because a lot of people know you in Green Bay, know you were the longest serving mayor. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Did you?
Certain days.
Yeah, I'm sure it comes. Hey, I have a question for you. So other mayors, when you've been mayor that long and you know the headaches that come with the job, do you have sympathy for other mayors or soft spot, regardless of party, just because you know what they're going through?
Oh, yeah, totally. Those guys are my friends. Like the mayor of Oklahoma City, the mayor of Burnsville, Minnesota, Santa Ana. They're just good friends that we see. Wow, we get together, we talk Christmas cards. They all come in for a game, or if I'm out there, I'll call them. It's a great, great, rewarding job, but it's tough.
Yeah,
but it's tough.
Sure.
It's tough, people.
How did you last 16 years?
I just didn't look at anything else. And sometimes I look back at that and I'm like, is that the smartest thing? But people would call and say, hey, look, you know, would you be interested in, you know, working in the private sector? I mean, there's a little bit more money in the private sector. And yeah. I didn't really need the money, I'll admit it. I was fortunate. Before I was mayor, I had my own business, and that worked out pretty well for us. But I didn't even say, look, let's talk about it. Let's interview. I'm like, no, this is all I want to do. And, you know, higher politics, I mean, I don't know that I had the skill set to do some of the things that I was offered. But I just did it. I never took it to the second level, Pete. I just was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is why, you know, if I don't have to get religious on you, but this is why I think God put me here, and this is what I want to do. I'll lead this city. And it was, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very, very much. And I think there's a lot of mayors who've been mayors a long time, you know, Richie Daley and Cornette and these guys. They love their job, man. They do. And they could go, those guys could go anywhere.
They don't want to give it up.
No. It's not like you're, you're never done. I mean, there's always something to do in a city. There's, you know, right now, we just, there's some issues, homeless, but there's also some great opportunities with some development, some new corridors. So anyway, I enjoyed it very much, and it was fun. And I don't know, sometimes I think I should have ran for a fifth term, but, you know, I mean, you get tired with it too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and my wife had kind of had it, so.
The First Lady of Green Bay. She had something to say about it too, I'm sure, yeah.
Well, I tell people, they say, well, what does it take to get elected? I said, the first vote you have to get is your spouse's, and I did not have it.
Well, your wife is a saint, because she was in here last week, and you told me the gift you got her once was
I
already talked about it, and she was okay with it. That's why I love her. I'm talking with Jim Schmidt. He's the co-host of Mino and the Mayor in the Morning here on WGBW. And WISS, can you stick around?
Sure,
we do some business.
I mean, no, I'm not going to bed yet.
You might as well just stay here and do your show tomorrow
morning, right?
Hey, we got a text here from Jim in Appleton, who says Dick Van Dyke is the one I would love to wish a happy birthday in person. His body of work is so far beyond the pale, I am hard pressed to find anyone to compare. Broadway, movies, television, music, he covered it all. He sure did. And
he also has 60 some years on Taylor Swift. You know what
True.
I mean? But that guy's incredible. And, you know, he's never had any real drama or.
No.
Did you ever
right.
read anything about, like,
never.
All these people? It's this or that. And that guy just, I don't know if he was squeaky clean or had
maybe
a great press
a little
agent.
Bit of booze at some point, but I'm drunk right now. So who am I to judge?
We all are.
All right. We're going to be right back.
Stay tuned for more Nightlight right after the break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Kissing the new year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. We hope you're having a happy new year. For anything like Pete, you love Jerry Seinfeld. So here is some of those clips.
Do you have a favorite Christmas cocktail, Conrad?
You're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
It's
eggnog?
Eggnog and brandy.
Oh, leave the studio. That's it. We're done. You're dead to me. I like the brandy part.
Yeah.
Leave the extra calories out of it. That's what I say. So text us your favorite Christmas cocktail or your favorite board game. Board games are huge around the holidays. I know that's typically when we play board games at my house the most is when people are in town visiting. It's just a great, great energy. It's a lot of fun. So coming up in a little bit is Rob Thomas. We're going to talk about an article he wrote that was in today's Capital Times about Herb Frank, a famous concert promoter in Madison and throughout the Midwest. But we're talking about Seinfeld tonight because Jerry Seinfeld was in Wisconsin this week. One of the other Civic Media hosts grew up with him, and he's going to join us Friday to talk more about Jerry. And right now, you know what? I want to play another Jerry clip. Conrad, we're going to do, this is George. Jerry and George have just sold a sitcom, and George has attached himself as a writer, and they're about to shoot the sitcom, but he finds his therapist sees a white thing on his lip, and now he thinks he's going to die. All right, go ahead, Conrad.
He took a biopsy, Jerry, a biopsy.
What'd he say?
He said he didn't know what it was.
All right, so?
Well, when I asked him if it was cancer, he didn't give me a get out of here. That's what I wanted to hear. Cancer? Get out of here.
Maybe he doesn't have a get out of here kind of personality.
How could you be a doctor and not say get out of here? You should be part of the training in medical school. Cancer? Get out of here. Go home. What are you, crazy? It's a little test. It's nothing. You're a real nut. You know that? Told you God would never let me be successful. I never should have written that pilot. Now the show will be a big hit. We'll make millions of dollars and I'll be dead. Dead, Jerry. Because of this.
Can't you at least die with a little dignity?
No, I can't. I can't die with dignity. I have no dignity. I want to be the one person who doesn't die with dignity. I live my whole life in shame. Why should I die with dignity?
That's so great. So that is a classic season of Seinfeld. The whole season gets tied together at the end when Jerry and George pitch the pilot, which is basically kind of parallels how the show actually came to be. And they do a callback from the whole season in the final episode of the season. They call back pretty much every episode. And there were so many great iconic episodes that year. The contest, which is a great one. Jerry dating the model, the airport episode, just such maybe the best season of television ever. And my personal live action favorite, I think the Simpsons probably would edge out Seinfeld just by pure how long it's been on the air, like 35 seasons now or something crazy like that. And it's still funny. The Simpsons is still funny. It started off okay the first season. Then it just crushed it for like 6 or 7 years. But it's still funny. It's been on 35 years. But we're talking about Seinfeld tonight. And I think we have another. Do we have another clip? And this clip, what's the other clip we have?
With George.
Oh, my God. This is great. Okay, so George goes out on a date with a woman. She invites him up for coffee, but it's very late. And he says, no, thank you. It keeps me up. Then realizes later that she probably meant she wanted to get busy. So he's kicking himself. And he cannot let this go. Okay, go ahead, Conrad.
Because instead of doing a wash, I just keep buying underwear.
Oh, this is the scene with him and the woman in the car.
That way, I only have to do wash once a year.
Okay.
So, thanks for dinner. It was great.
We should do this again.
Would you like to come upstairs for some coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. I can't drink coffee late at night. It keeps me up.
So, okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Yeah, take it easy.
He's kicking himself.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Hi.
He pulls out Pepto-Bismol.
You're still thinking about this?
She invites me up at 12 o'clock at night for coffee. And I don't go out. No, thank you. I don't want coffee. It keeps me up. Too late for me to drink coffee. I said this to her. People this stupid shouldn't be allowed to live. I can't imagine what she must think of me.
She thinks you're a guy that doesn't like coffee.
She invited me up. Coffee's not coffee. Coffee is sex.
Maybe coffee was coffee.
Coffee's coffee in the morning. It's not coffee at 12 o'clock at night.
Well, some people drink coffee that late.
Yeah, people who work at NORAD who are on 24-hour missile watch. Everything was going along so great. She was laughing. I was funny. I kept saying to myself, keep it up. Don't blow it. You're doing great.
It's all in your head. All she knows is she had a good time. I think you should call her.
I can't call her now. It's too soon. I'm planning a Wednesday call.
Why? I love it when guys call me the next day.
Of course you do, but you're imagining a guy you like, not a guy who goes, oh, no, I don't drink coffee late at night. If I call her now, she's going to think I'm too needy. Women don't want to see need. They want a take-charge guy, a colonel, a kaiser, a czar.
All she'll think is that you like her.
That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid.
She wants you to like her.
Yes, she wants me to like her if she likes me, but she doesn't like me.
I don't know what your parents did to you.
I mean, the dialogue in that show is so great. It's like, you just can't beat it. That's so great. All right, maybe we'll hear some more Seinfeld later in the show. I'm also, later in the show, we're going to discuss, like, the holidays is a big time to binge watch stuff. So we'll talk a little bit. I'll give you a couple suggestions of what you could possibly binge watch in the way of series or episodics. We talk movies too, but I've got two shows I just finished, or one I just finished, one I'm kind of right in the middle of season two. We'll discuss that a little bit too. Rob Thomas is going to be along in a few minutes to talk about an article he wrote. And we always have great talks with Rob about movies and TV. Conrad, I'm giving you homework.
Okay.
All right. You got to think of a suggestion for later in the show that we can give people to binge watch something over the holidays.
Okay.
All right. You got one in mind? Have you seen anything?
Yeah, actually I just watched, The Family Plan on Apple TV. It's with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay.
It's a fun family movie.
Did he show his abs?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing says family like ripped abs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. What was that little noise we just
heard? So I accidentally turned it up all the way.
I didn't mean start the movie now. I was just, okay.
Oh, we weren't going to watch it? hear it?
Yeah, let's watch a movie in the air. I got a mime coming in later, too. That'll be fun.
Come back right after the break. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump asks the U.S. Supreme Court to rule on Colorado's decision to kick him off of the GOP primary ballot. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
I think the Supreme Court will take this very seriously, and I don't think there's any way to predict exactly what the Supreme Court will do.
CBS News is reviewing unsealed court documents, possibly revealing big names associated with financier Jeffrey Epstein, who died while facing sex trafficking charges. CBS's Nancy Chen.
It's important to note that being named does not necessarily mean that someone had knowledge of or involvement in Epstein's crimes, with the documents also including the names of accusers along with potential witnesses.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says he cannot confirm Israel is responsible for the attack that killed a top Hamas leader in Beirut yesterday. And
I would just tell you that Al-Houri was a noted designated global terrorist. And if he is in fact dead, nobody should be shedding a tear over his loss.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin are working to form a union. They're being represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They say that unionizing will help improve their working environment and enhance patient care. They expect around 100 Planned Parenthood workers to be included in the union. 22 states raised their minimum wage on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More businesses are raising pay on their own, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky, a few flurries around, and lows in the upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, high upper 20s. Back to clouds in mid-30s for Friday, with snow possible Friday night and Saturday. High in the low 30s, snow showers wrap up Saturday night. Currently, it's 26.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlife. We hope you're having a happy new year. Here is an interview with Greg Galena. We hope you enjoy.
I've always prided myself in being able to provide my family with a very nice home to live in.
We're going to have a lovely home too, Daddy.
Having a family means being responsible with money. You agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir. I totally agree with that, sir. I've always believed a penny saved is a penny earned. Did I say something?
Daddy's mother's name was Penny, and he keeps her ashes in an urn.
You're kidding.
Ah, that was a clip. Welcome back to Nightlight. That was a clip from the original Meet the Parents, written and directed and starred in and acted, who played the lead, Greg Galena. I can't talk tonight. Greg Galena, who joins us now on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Pete. You should explain the dad got up and left.
Yeah, I you know what? I know. I'm learning the ropes here, buddy.
It's so visual, you know, it's hard to find audio clips.
Oh, you know what? We played a half hour of it in the first segment. I was wondering what went wrong. No, you're right. And we have other clips because we're celebrating Norman Lear's life tonight. And there's a whole bunch of clips I have from his TV shows. And I was planning on doing that, kind of describing the action. But your dialogue is so funny, too. That joke, and I know you don't like jokes, but it was delivered. Tell me this, first of all. All right, let's do some background. Greg's movie, Meet the Parents. Tell us the background. You shot it as an independent film in Chicago, right?
Okay. It started off, you know, I was doing stand-up comedy. I dropped out of film school, but I used to make, you know, short films, like five-minute shorts. And I made a short called The Vase. And in this short, I went to meet my girlfriend's parents, and I break their prize vase. So I had this idea about turning it into a feature. You know, I was inspired by the movie The Party with Peter Sellers.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, if we can do a whole movie where he's just at a party, why can't I do a whole movie where the guy's just going to meet his parents, his girlfriend's parents? So I told that to my friend Emo Phillips, and he was like, well, why don't you write it? And if, you know, if I like it, I'll, you know, put some money into it. So I wrote it with a girl named Mary Ruth Clark, because I knew I'd never written anything, and she had written plays and things. And he ended up funding it, and it, you know, was a very, very low-budget film, and it played the Music Box in Chicago and a bunch of other places. And eventually it came to the attention of Steven Soderbergh, who brought it into Universal, and they remade it.
And it's like the comic who plays to other comics, in my opinion, the movie, because people in the know and really funny people, many think it's funnier than the studio Meet the Parents. And I know people listening are probably going, no way, with Ben Stiller and Robin. Yours is so kind of dark. And Mary Ruth Clark, who co-wrote that with you, also plays the sister who's a bit psychotic and hilarious in the movie. But what did you shoot that for? Was it less than $50,000?
Yes.
And I can pretty much guarantee if people can find it on YouTube, and they can, they will laugh as much as they would in the theater at the Ben Stiller version. So that's a great story. And
I really miss seeing it with an audience.
Oh, I bet.
You get such giant laughs, because the laughs, you know, inspire other laughs and just go on. It was really, really fun.
Yeah.
I wish Universal would let me release my film legally, but they won't.
And at this point, why wouldn't they? I mean, they've made the money they're going to make. I mean, I'm sure Meet the Parents is still a cash cow on some level, but, you know, I'm sure they would get a taste if you released yours.
I heard they're making another one.
Well, of course they are. Wow.
But there is a book coming out, which I did not write, but I was extensively interviewed for. It's the Meet the Parents story, and it covers the whole thing. And it starts with an email that I got just about 3 or 4 months ago. I inquired whether, you know, I could get the right to show mine in some way, and they shot it down. So that email is the beginning of the book. So it's going to come out from Bear Media Press.
Oh, wow. That's
sure
great.
When,
and you're going to tell the whole story, soup to nuts, about how you made your film and it ended up on the big screen from Universal.
The whole story of how, and then how that one got made. It ends with the movie coming out in October of 2003.
Oh, that's excellent.
The remake.
So
that will tell the story.
Say again.
I said that will tell the story. Yeah. That people want to hear about it.
I'm glad it'll be out there. That'll do you some justice too, I think, and tell your side of the story, because I know that wasn't easy for you going through that whole process, and there were people that weren't very nice to you, to save my words. But I have to do a disclaimer. You and I have written stuff together. If people are listening, we've sold a few scripts together, only one of which got made, a guy thing, and you can rent it at various places. But
as of yet, only one.
As of yet. Oh, do you know something I don't? Are they going to make another one?
No. Okay. I still have high hopes of Dreamgirl or Spy High. I know Brian Etting is shopping around Spy High still.
Brian Etting is the producer,
He came for me. He wanted other possible titles for it.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a company that apparently just makes teen comedies.
Right.
In high school.
Okay.
And he's pitching it to them. So, yeah, it could happen.
I'm sorry. I'm not changing the title. I'm going to be like George Costanza here, and we are not right. going to change it.
I sent him a list. Spy High is perfect.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have been included in that as a co-writer. Here's my favorite Greg Liana story. You ready for this? I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, God.
Greg and I, as a writing team, had a meeting at the Sony lot in Culver City, and I get there on time. And I'm waiting, and we're waiting for Greg, and it's like 20 after, and she's like, do you want to just start? And I think we were supposed to pitch something, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I called you. You live like 10 miles away in L.A., which might as well have been 50 miles away, and you just woke up. So I know, I'm like, he's an hour minimum from getting here. So I said, look, he just overslept. Do you want to reschedule? She says, no, we'll wait. I'm like, oh, my, with the two of us in the room. Waiting
it was probably 5 o'clock at night, 5 p.m.
Why don't we make this a dinner meeting? Yeah. And we're talking politics. I'm like, yeah, see if you know this song. And I'd sing, whatever I could do to get through the meeting. As I'm waiting for you to get there with Bedhead. Anyway, that was fantastic.
I think I blocked that out now that you mentioned it. Like, vaguely. I'm usually early. I'm like early as on time. I'm usually early everywhere. So
yeah. Well,
it must have been before noon or something.
And sometimes we'd talk before. Hey, you on your way? Yeah, okay. I don't know why we didn't that day in particular. But
right.
So, Greg, as you've heard, Norman Lear, a true legend, passed away.
Yes.
Your thoughts, please.
Well, it's hard to mourn somebody who was 101, but it was tragic. such a genius, such a trailblazer. You know, I love a movie that he made in the 60s called The Night That They Raided Minsky's.
Oh, really? I saw that in his credits. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, it really is one of the movies that I wanted to be that kind of comedian. It's all about burlesque and all that. But, I mean, all in The Family and The Jeffersons and Maud. I mean, those shows are just so amazingly great, you know.
Oh, it's incredible. It's really, and how he rolled them out, like he would introduce the characters on All in the Family, like The Jeffersons and Maud. And then the next thing you know, you got another hit show that's not fluff either. Like, they tackled topics that were difficult even then. And I think my personal favorite was Good Times. And because I was too young to understand All in a Family, I love that Good Times was set in Chicago. And I liked Jimmy Walker when I was like 5 years old, you know. But that was an underrated show, too, I thought.
Dynamite, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been recently watching All in the Family again. I think it really holds up. It's just, it's so funny that you could never do a show like that today.
Well, that's my question. I got two more guests coming on to talk about Norman Lear. Do you think that could be done today?
I mean, it would be ideal, you know, if the dad is, Archie's a Trump supporter and, you know.
Right.
But I just don't think they would allow it. I mean, he uses many slurs, names.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
So we're doing our question tonight, Greg, is Taylor Swift. I don't know if you heard this. I don't know if you still subscribe to Time Magazine or if anybody actually has a subscription, but she was voted the person of the year. So you don't have to give me your answer right now, but I would like you to think about that and tell me who you would have voted for person of the year at some point during this interview.
Am I allowed to vote for myself?
Sure. Greg Liana is our person of the year.
Okay, there's my vote.
I'm talking with Greg Liana. He is the creator of Meet the Parents, and he has a new film coming out, which we'll get to in just a minute. But I saw something that made me think of you, Greg. I went and saw Silent Night the other night, the Joel Kinnaman film that just got released. I went with Mary, with my wife and my daughter. I didn't know when I went. Silent Night, there is no dialogue. So I immediately thought of you. I'm like, Greg would be in heaven because you love silent films. But I mean,
I love silent comedy.
this is not that. But it amazed me, and I've seen my share of silent stuff, not like you certainly, but like you should be able to tell a story with no dialogue. And in Silent Night, Joel Kinnaman is just angry. There's no redemption. It's just him getting revenge. You really don't need words. I mean, the script must have been like 40 pages of action. John Woo directed it. But do you think you could pull off a comedy like that today where there's no talking?
Well, I mean, they did that for 30 years before silent came in.
But now we're used to dialogue. I mean, do you think it could be done now?
But, you know, it's funny. Meet the Parents kind of also came out of a discussion that Emo and I used to have, Emo Phillips. You know, I was saying I could take any of the silent movies like Harold Lloyd or Buster Keaton, and I could just add realistic dialogue, and they would still be funny.
Right.
Excuse me. Because of their situation. And My Meet the Parents was kind of a test of that. You know,
right.
There's dialogue all the way through it, but you could watch the film with no dialogue and figure out what's happening.
Yeah.
And the action shots and things. So absolutely, I think you can make a movie now. Because the silent movies are just situational.
Right. Well, and a story is told through actions, too. I mean, I was watching it thinking, I wonder what, and I don't know what the box office numbers are, but I was wondering like how people were going to react to this. Because it's definitely a shoot 'em up. You know, and I was kind of depressed when I left. We all were. And then it's like, I kind of had an appreciation for it because like what John Woo did, there's a lot of action, but no dialogue. And I actually kind of admired him for not making the character, for not giving him any redeeming qualities. He's just out for revenge. Yeah. And I'm not disclosing anything. His son dies very early in the movie in a drive-by shooting, and he just goes after gangbangers like 10 at a clip for the rest of the movie.
You know, there's a great movie that Steven Soderbergh made called Contagion.
Oh, yeah.
And that's half of that is a silent movie. You just see this stuff going down and there's music playing, you know, but you don't hear dialogue.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely. If you know, and I think even today, the situation, the story is more important than the dialogue.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, the other thing we're talking about, Greg, I hope you can hang through the break. It's a very short one and we'll talk about The Road Dog, but were you, Stephen Wright turned 74 today. Were you a fan?
Did he die?
No. He turned 74. Were you a fan?
I guess I'm a fan. Yes, I think he was great. Probably still is. He made a short film that won an Oscar.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what it was called. But then
The Appointment of Dennis Jennings.
Yeah. Then he just kind of dropped the ball. And I thought he was going to be the next Woody Allen or someone, you know, like.
Yeah.
But no, he was great. And, you know, it really sucks that I'm so old that all the people that I liked are all like pushing 90 now, you know. And
your influences, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Woody Allen's 88. It's like, what the heck, you know.
I think The Appointment of Dennis Jennings was him telling his shrink very personal things, right? And then all of a sudden, this arm comes out from under the desk with a wrench or something. This construction worker was under there working the whole time and he had no idea. That movie.
Yeah, he was talking about some personal thing. Yeah,
it was so great.
I love that he had this dream where this, what was it? The guy was getting hit with a shovel or something. And it turns out he thought it was his radiator. Then the camera kind of pans out the window and some guy's getting hit with a shovel. It was like really funny.
I'm talking with Greg Liana. He's the creator of Meet the Parents and he has a new film out.
Stay tuned for more Pete right after the break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I got to see it further on up the road. Hello, won't you come back?
93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful City Deck in downtown Green Bay at WGBW. So I have to read this full text. There's kind of a positive part and kind of a negative part. The best Christmas gift, I'm definitely going to read this, I've ever received is the show Nightlight, hosted by Pete Travel. That must be an autocorrect. Or maybe I should change my name. It helps me end my night on a positive note. I really mean that, Pete. Love your work since I heard you fill in on the other radio station. We won't get into that, but thank you very much. By the way, Conrad, take a memo.
Yep.
920-264-0606. The number we give out on our breaks to text never works for me. Only works to call, not to text. Well, give us a call then. And text, folks, you can text on the Civic Media app too. It's so easy. The app is easy to use, and there's a text button right at the bottom. You can text through that too if you're having trouble getting through. But thank you for letting me know that. And the nice words, that's from the 262. And another one from the 920. Now that I researched it, I wish I still had it. That's the Johnny West Ranch. Have you ever heard of that, Don, a Johnny West Ranch toy?
No.
It's pretty cool. I just Googled it because I hadn't heard of it either, but that's the best Christmas gift this person's ever gotten. I don't know that it steered them toward a career like your best gift ever, but So Don Rosen is originally from New York. You tell me a little bit and tell the listeners a little bit, Don, about your relationship with Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, and I'll tell everybody, we were 5 and 6 years old. We were friends. I mean, it was
That's
a long
still
time
pretty
ago.
Cool.
Yeah. We lived both in Massapequa, New York. I lived on Westgate Road. He lived on Eastgate, about 5 or 6 houses from each other. And his dad was the local sign guy in town. He made signs. He painted signs for my brother's band and so forth. But, you know, we went to kinder. I sent you a picture. Did you get the picture?
Yeah, I did. I thought I responded. If I didn't, I apologize. It was great.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a picture when we were about 6 years old in that picture. And, you know, went to school together, grammar school. And, you know, we went to each other's birthday parties. I think I have 8mm movies here. I got to get on DVD or something. And, you know, running around the backyards together. We, you know, just friends growing up.
Yeah.
Then we went through religious school together. And when we were up to 13, and then he moved to a different side of town and went to the other high school. There's two high schools in town. And that's where I lost track of him when we were about 13 years old. But up until, you know, 4 years old, 5, 6, 7, you know, right through the formative, the Wonder Bread years.
Yeah. And you remember what I called you the other day?
What was that?
You're the original George Costanza, buddy.
That's right. I told you my friend told me it was the original Albert Brooks.
That's a pretty good one too. Are you a fan of this show, Seinfeld? I assume
yes,
you are.
Yes, I have them all on DVD, but I watch them with my wife. I can give you all the dialogue. I can tell you everything about every episode. And I think I told you there are little things to watch out for in the show.
Oh yeah.
That you'll see when Jerry walks down the street occasionally in the distance, will say K-A-L signs. That was his dad, Cal Seinfeld. He was a sign painter. Selwyn Drugs is Maurice Selwyn, who lived across the street from him. So it's little things like that you see on the show that you probably wouldn't notice in a million years.
Can you tell the story about the the guy that was miffed that Jerry never calls him anymore? I've thought about that all week, and it's just made me chuckle because you're right. Who still hangs out with people from when they were 7, you know?
Yeah, I know. Okay, this guy lived next door to Jerry. He was literally right next door. They shared the side of the house. So I lived next door in Massapequa, and we all went to school together. We were all in grade school and so forth. And I guess when Jerry became super famous, this guy, and I don't want to give his name, but he, kept calling Jerry, and Jerry had nothing to do with him. So at our 20th high school reunion, he came up to me and said, "Do you believe Jerry will have nothing to do with us?" Well, I said, "Don't us. I haven't seen him since 13. He said, "But I keep calling him. He doesn't want to acknowledge me. I was his best friend all his life." And that's the way he was about it. Now, there was an episode on Seinfeld where a guy named Joel Hageman or Hag something like
yeah.
that, he was Jerry's old friend from growing up, and he wanted to be friends with Jerry, and Jerry didn't want anything to do with him, and he started crying in the diner. And that's the guy who wore the turkey sandwich, and he said to the waitress, "Is this real turkey? Is there a real turkey back there?" And Jerry said, "How can you talk to the waitress like that?" That's who this guy is based upon.
Oh, that's funny. Now, you wonder if he saw that, if he would be flattered or if offended. You know what I mean? Like, some people, if they get mentioned, even if there's kind of a shot being taken at them, they're still sort of happy they got a mention somehow, you know?
Yeah, well, I just know that, he felt so offended Jerry didn't want anything to do with him. And I said to him, Jerry's got his own friends. I mean, how old were you? And, but he left that side of town when he was 13. I mean,
Listen, Don, I'm not judging Seinfeld, but I check in with my friends when I was 5 once a year, at least. We get together, we do Play-Doh, and we have milk and cookies. I don't know. Maybe Jerry's different, but.
You want to hear one sad thing?
Yeah.
I have all the friends I hanged out with. There were 6 of us. One's left.
Oh, no.
Me and my friend Johnny, they're all gone. And, one was a suicide. One went crazy and killed herself by accident. I mean, it was all odd things. They didn't, you feel bad because... I went to a high school. Our graduating class was 970 people, so the attrition rate is really huge as you get older, and it's kind of sad. But
has anyone asked you if you have a good alibi?
I wasn't anywhere near there.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll vouch for you. We got a couple minutes left. I just want to get your take. The Soup Nazi episode is one people talk about forever. I have to be honest; some of those got so big. Those are like my least favorite episodes. It's the ones when they were the early ones where they were in the apartment mostly and just talking about stuff. Are you a fan of like the Soup Nazi and the Elaine dancing and that kind of stuff? I mean, they're still funny. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah, I like them all. I just watched the other day in reruns. I watched their Real and the Spectacular with Terry Hatcher. That was a good episode.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. I mean, they're all every one of them's good. I mean, I don't think there's a bad episode on there. Even when Jerry goes to school. And by the way, the school he's talking about is a real high school on Long Island where he loses the book Tropic of Cancer and the library.
Oh, I love that one.
Is Mr. Bookman.
Yeah, that's so great. That's one of my favorite episodes. Yeah, that's great.
When I have the people from the Racine Public Library on, I say, "Do you have a library detective there?" He goes, "No, we don't have a Mr. Bookman working for us."
Don, this was really fun. I really appreciate your time on a Friday night. Thanks for hanging out, and let's do it again soon.
Okay, my friend.
All right, buddy. Have a great night. That's Don Rosen. Check out the WRJN Morning Show in Racine if you're down in southeast Wisconsin. He's kind of a radio legend. He's been around a long time, and God, with a voice like that, is it any wonder?
Hey, thanks for listening. We hope you have a happy new year, and we'll be back tomorrow. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artist. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.